Trussville, Alabama is the home of Matt Herron. And Matt, you've got to be so happy and so pleased with a second place finish, but I know you wanted to win it.
Well, I really did, Terry. I poured my heart and soul out into this tournament. I gave it everything I had. It just didn't work out.
Well, you know, you look back at this thing, and I think probably one of the key elements is you had almost 65 pounds of fish for the week. And with that 65 pounds came a second-place finish. But in reality, you kind of blew the doors off everybody if it would have been cumulative weight and it had not been zeroed out. Is that something that kind of eats at you a little bit, or is that just something that goes with the territory?
It just kind of goes with the territory. You know, if you're the guy that comes in 10th and winds up winning the terms, you think it's the greatest format that ever was. But if you're the guy that, you know, winds up with the most accumulated weight and you finish second, you don't really care for it at that event. So, that's just the rules, and that's the game we play.
Well, you know, it is unique. Of course, FLW zeroes out the last 2 days with the top 10, and that makes it so it's a little bit more of a challenge in that way. But also with the FLW Championship, you know, they go to the pairings format, which is kind of unique too. But that is their marketing strategy. That is how they do things. So you have to play within those rules, right?
Yeah, you have to play within the rules. And, you know, like I said, you know, if you're the guy that comes in from nowhere and you barely sneak in, you know, you think it's great. It's just, you never know which way it's going to happen. You know, as a true competitor, you want to, you know, carry over your weights and, you know, carry on. But for, you know, for the sport that we're in and the marketing and the television and trying to keep interest up, I can see that end of it, too.
Well, you know, the guy that actually won it was in 10th place. He just barely got in. And Toshi Namiki, he was the guy that won this. But he had to come back and catch him the last 2 days. So the pressure was on everybody, as I would think.
Right. It was on everybody. I knew I was quoted in an article or an interview that morning going out the first day of the cut, that whoever led after day one of that thing was going to be hard to beat, and it was simply because of the runs and the limited time frame that we had.
Well, you were at Lake Wachita, actually the Wachita River out of Monroe, Louisiana, and you had to make a long run just to get to the lock.
Yeah, it was about 60 miles to get to the lock at Felsenthal National Wildlife Refuge. It was taking us about an hour, and then it was taking me about 15 minutes past that to get to the area I was fishing.
Well, you know, you look back at this thing, and you have to not only make that long run, but you have to manage your fish for the entire tournament. And I think probably a guy that, you know, is not around this a lot doesn't really understand it. You know, most guys will go out there and whack them, but you actually quit a couple of days early just so you could manage those fish.
Well, I really did. I was very fortunate the first day. I caught a really good bag of fish, and it even surprised me. I had no idea. I knew I was on a few bites, but I didn't understand, you know, fully understand what I was on. And it started materializing the first day. We just caught a front coming in. All the conditions were right to catch a big bag. And it happened, and 2 hours into the first day, I quit. I knew that I didn't really think I could better what I was catching. And I was burning fish that I didn't need to burn. And then on day two, I went out and I caught three or four fish real early and quit again.
Well, that gets you into the cut. You know, I think you had 8-9 that second day, and that got you in the cut and got you where you needed to be, and you were still leading the event at that point. But you look at this thing now, the 4 days, you know, of course you go into that. You know, day three, you go out there, and then you're trying to hammer them again, right?
Right, I hammered them the day three. I don't know exactly how many keepers I caught. I'd have to ask my cameraman. I kind of got in the zone, and I really don't know, but they told me it was a lot.
Well, you look back at this thing. Now, let's talk a little bit about bait selection. You know, this is a river impoundment that, you know, you have some lock and dam systems on, of course, but a lot of cypress trees, a lot of those kind of things. What were you fishing?
I was fishing a Davis M-Series jig that I designed. It's made by Davis Bait Company in Sylacauga, Alabama. And I was fishing a new trailer out. It's by Net Bait Company down in Greenville, Alabama. It's called a pocket crawl.
Yeah, I know that bait very well, and it's won a lot of tournaments. It's a hollow bait that's got great big pinchers on it. Boy, it has that life like the fall and everything else, and I know the pinchers, when you got that bait dead sticking, it'll stick right up.
Oh, it's a tremendous bait. It's just nice. New on the market. It's been out. I got my hands on it, started using it at the FLW Championship in 2003, and it's been a mainstay in my arsenal now for a while.
Now tell me about color selection, Matt.
Oh, it was pretty simple. I was fishing black, brown, and gold jig with a brown net bait trailer, and I was fishing a black and blue jig with a sapphire blue trailer. A lot of my competitors were fishing tubes and crawls and stuff, really trying to downsize, and all I did was really kind of lighten up my jig and went to a quarter-ounce jig and really tried to slow the fall.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and now FLW, of course, had Yamaha, which you're involved with Yamaha, but then they also have an associate sponsorship with Skeeter. In this past year, you changed and went to Skeeter Boats, so I would imagine you've got Skeeter pretty happy right now.
I would hope so. I'm extremely happy with Skeeter. With them coming on board, I've had a long-standing relationship with Yamaha, and then with Skeeter coming on board, and being able to stay with the Yamaha company and then become an associate sponsor of FLW, it's been tremendous, and I'm very fortunate, very pleased.
Well, you know, now I would think, you know, you probably, you know, with a few events remaining, you've got an opportunity to make it back to that championship again, which you've made before. But you got to look back at that, you know, when it really gets to the money time, you know, $100,000 is nice, but $500,000 is really nice.
Oh, it's tremendous. Every year, I mean, the ultimate goal every year is to make that championship, and that's what I strive for. I strive to be consistent. And it's a real challenge every year. I mean, it's you never know what's going to happen. You never know what kind of curves you're going to be throwing during the year. Just to make it in that top 48 every year is a true challenge.
Well, you know, I guess we got to kind of fall back and talk a little bit about the Voodoo Hex, you know, a little bit, because you and I have been friends for a number of years, and we look back at this thing, and we talk a lot. We talk fishing, you know, we get on the phone and talk fishing a lot, but this particular tournament, we talked every day except for one, and you're kind of blaming me for getting second place, right?
Yeah, see, I believe I'd have won that thing. You told me, you know, now that I'm leading this thing, you know, we got to talk every night, and you didn't hold up your end of the deal. You didn't call me back.
Well, it was funny because that Friday night, we indeed tried to get together. You left me a message, I left you a message, but we didn't get together on it. So I guess I do have to take part of the blame, you know. And now your nickname is going to be Matt Voodoo Heron from now on. So, you know, we kind of kid about that. But, you know, once you get on a roll, superstitions do kind of play a little bit.
Yeah, it really does. I just really try to focus on each event, each and every event. They're all separate. You know, this one's great. I'll put it behind me. I'll enjoy it for a few more days, and I'll put it behind me, and I'll strive on and try to win the next one. My ultimate goal, I would really love to win. But when you're competing against the type of competition I'm competing against in the FLW Tour and the great anglers and the tight bodies of water we're fishing, you know, it's each and every day is a challenge, and I'm just very fortunate to have the opportunity.
Well, you're getting ready to shift gears and go to Beaver Lake, and that's going to be a little different impoundment compared to Wachita.
Oh, it really is. Beaver Lake will be more of a finesse-type tournament. It'll be one of the few events during the year that I'll have three or four spinning rods in the boat. And really, it's just going to be seasonal patterns, and let's see how the surface temps play out. We could be fishing anywhere from 20 foot of water to sight fishing. We just got to see how it hits.
Well, if the warm weather hits, you can have one of those tournaments that's one to remember because Beaver Lake is full of fish. You know, Clark Wendland loves that place and has had great success there, but that next stop could make a difference, and you could actually, if you do real well, can lock in and make that FLW championship.
Yeah, that's true. You know, each and every event is so very important. With a 200-point system, you have to catch fish each and every event. And I would do, you know, I've had a little success at Beaver Lake. It's always been an uphill struggle for me there because I'm a power fisherman, and Beaver kind of lends itself to be a finesse-type game. And so I really have to work extra hard on those type impoundments to make sure that I keep myself in contention to make the championship.
Well, you talk about being in the zone, and it seems like when you do well, that kind of breeds that success again. So, you know, you're on that roll. You got to take that momentum and run with it.
I sure hope so. I mean, it was a great relief to get this top 10 out, you know, under my belt. I've been trying now for about 2.5 years, and I've been consistent, and I've been hanging around the top 10 in points, and I've been pleased, but it's just been a long time coming. I've caught a tremendous amount of big stringers at home and won tons of tournaments throughout my career, but just never at that level. And it was truly a relief to get this one under my belt.
Well, in that Alabama area, which is up by Birmingham where you live, a lot of guys know that name, Matt Heron. Now across the country, they know the name Matt Heron with a great finish there at the Wachita.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.